rebuttal proceeding to the next case, Televisia versus EchoStar. Mr. Souza.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Philip Zizek, and I represent the plaintiff in this case, which I will refer to as Polska. May it please the court.
Any particular reason why you do that? That's kind of like referring, abbreviating the British Broadcasting Corporation to British.
And if my client's first name were as easy to pronounce as British, I would refer to it in that way. Your Honor?
No, my point is that Polska is an adjective, not a noun.
Well, that is true, Your Honor, but that is the way in which we refer to our client throughout the briefs, and I thought it would be easier for today's purposes. May it please the court, this appeal concerns the contract between my client and EchoStar for the broadcast of Polska's Polish language television and radio service, or programming service, over EchoStar's satellite system. Polska had filed suit against EchoStar, arising from EchoStar's marketing our programming service after the expiration of the contract and its failure to account to us for subscriptions sold and revenue received after the expiration of the contract. The district court dismissed our complaint with prejudice, holding that despite an express 3-year term, there was an automatic extension of 4 years as to all contract conditions and terms. There are several reasons compelling the reversal of the district court's order. First, it is contrary to the express terms of the contract. The contract on its face states that it commenced on April 30th, 1998 and expired 3 years thereafter. The contract provides for no extension of the defined contract term. And the only reference to the term in this agreement is the 3-year period set forth in Article 2. The only extension that was provided for in the contract was a conditional duty of Polska after the expiration of 3 years to continue to provide the programming service under the terms and conditions outlined in the contract for up to 1 year to fulfill open, pre-existing subscriptions. It does not say that the term of the contract is to be extended 1 year. It does not say the agreement, which is a defined term, is to be extended 1 year. It doesn't say that any right of EchoStar is to be extended 1 year. And it doesn't say that all of the rights and duties of the parties are to be extended 1 year. The district court based its creation of this additional 1 year contract term on the phrase under the terms and conditions outlined herein, and therefore found that the entire contract was automatically extended. But the term provision is not that broad. It identified a single potential obligation of Polska for a particular purpose and said that that obligation had to continue to be performed under the contract terms. And the contract provides for terms and conditions of Polska providing the programming service. Article 6.1 of the contract specifically sets forth requirements for our uplinking our programming service to EchoStar satellite and for our payment of production and delivery costs. These are the terms and conditions that relate to our continuing to provide the programming service. Now, in interpreting the contract, a court is to give force to the entire contract so that all terms have meaning and make sense when read together. The district court's holding makes the term of the contract expressly set forth an impossibility. Under the trial court's analysis, there is no circumstance ever that this contract could expire in 3 years. and yet that is the only term defined in this agreement. And the contract is silent as to any extension of any right of EchoStar, let alone a right to continue to market and sell our programming services after the 3-year expiration date. In fact, according to Article 1.2...
Why does this matter to you? Is it because you licensed a rival during this period?
Your Honor...
I'm trying to figure out why, if you got paid according to the terms of the contract, it mattered.
We have not gotten paid.
That's a separate question. But if you got paid according to the terms of the contract, why does this matter?
Because we wanted to be free to negotiate new terms with another either satellite provider or cable provider or perhaps even television provider. We wanted to be free.
Did you get one?
Your Honor, at this point in time, we are broadcasting on an alternative network.
Right. But it... I'm just trying to figure out what was really at stake.
Well,
if you had a contract with somebody else at the end of this 3-year term, and the problem was that it was an exclusive contract, and now you've got two people purporting to sell the service, I could see the problem.
I'll explain. This contract, and one of the things that wasn't accounted to us, it set forth a specific revenue sharing plan, a sliding scale based on number of subscribers. We wanted a higher percentage of the programming service revenue. If the contract goes forward for yet another year, we're still bound by the old terms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, pursuant to Article 1.2 of the agreement...
It's basically free agency. You wanted to sign with San Antonio at the end of your contract.
Well, at the end of our contract, we wanted to be free to
Where
either...
Where Jason Kidd will go is remains up in the air.
We wanted to be free to either sign again with EchoStar on new terms or go to a competitor.
Okay. Understood.
Now, EchoStar was granted in Article 1.2 of this agreement a license to market and subscribe and sell our programming service, and I quote, in accordance with the terms and conditions of this agreement. This language says that the parties knew when the entirety of the agreement was going to be enforced and when it wasn't. And one of the terms and conditions of this agreement, as it is drafted, is the 3-year expiration period. So EchoStar's license, its permission from POSCA to market and sell our programming service, ended by the term of the agreement on April 30th, 2001, the 3-year expiration period. And nothing in the contract extends that license. The only way to read this contract consistently and to enforce all terms, and so that all terms make sense, which the court must do, is for the contract to run for three years, from April 30th, 1998, to April 30th, 2001. Two, recognize that EchoStar had a license to sell and market our programming services in accordance with that term, and that license ended on April 30th, 2001. And three, if there were pre-existing multi-month subscribers at the end of the expiration period, then POSCA had to continue to provide its programming service for the shorter of 12 months or those months remaining an open pre-existing contract, and it had to comply with the contract in providing that service. If the entire agreement was extended for 1 year, as the court found, it would make no sense to refer to a single obligation of POSCA that was continued for the shorter of 1 year or those many months remaining in an open contract. And if the entire contract was automatically to be extended for 1 year upon expiration, there would be no sense in having a 3-year term period, because that 3-year term could never exist. Now, there is a second reason why the district court's decision should be reversed. Our breach of contract count concerned not only EchoStar's sales of subscriptions in the post-expiration period, but also its failure to account to POSCA on a monthly basis for subscription revenue received from sales of our programming service in that period, and for the number of subscribers in the post-agreement, post-expiration period. The contract was attached to the complaint and called specifically on EchoStar to account to us on a monthly basis on both of these issues and set forth the sliding scale that I spoke of previously. EchoStar did not provide us with information, EchoStar did not provide us with the computation, and EchoStar did not provide us with the money. Count 4 alleged each of these acts sought damages for a breach of the agreement. It put EchoStar on notice of our claims for breach of contract, and there was no suggestion made at any time, let alone any proof, that POSCA was unable to prove any set of facts to support that claim. Rather, the complaint was merely dismissed with prejudice. There was no basis for that dismissal, let alone a dismissal with prejudice, and I respectfully request that the order of the district court be reversed and the case remanded. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zizek. Mr. Wooten?
May it please the court, Ross Wooten for the Appellee, EchoStar Satellite Corporation. Just a couple of points. First, I want to address Mr. Suzuk's argument regarding that the district court somehow extended the term of this agreement. This is not a three-year agreement. This is a three-year-plus agreement. What the plus was going to be, the parties didn't know when they entered into it, but clearly there were ways that the agreement could expire within 3 years. Number one, if EchoStar never launched a programming service, which is clearly contemplated by the agreement because it says if EchoStar has launched the service. Number two, EchoStar could have chosen not to sell multi-month subscriptions. If they just sold month-to-month, then the contract would have expired within a year. However, when the parties negotiated, as clear from the language of the agreement, that if EchoStar had launched the services, then Televisa Polska would have to provide the programming services subject to the terms and conditions contained herein for a period of time that is the shorter of however long it takes to finish these subscriptions, or 1 year. Televisa Polska never alleges that that the time period should have been short. They never alleged that EchoStar didn't sell month-to-month subscriptions. They never alleged that those subscriptions would have run off in 6 years. They simply say during that 12-month period at which time they were providing the programming services, EchoStar couldn't sell new subscriptions.
And counsel, as I understand the argument, it's based on a distinction between saying Polish television has to provide the programming service and this contract continues in full. Now, what's wrong with their reading? The programming service is a defined term, right? It's the uplink feed of what they have to offer.
Yes, sir.
That apparently is still being provided. Why does that mean that all the other terms continue? That's a very odd locution in the contract.
2 points to that, Your Honor. Number one, what they're providing EchoStar is a license to broadcast their programming.
Yeah.
And the license is in section, paragraph 1 of the agreement, paragraph 1.1 and 1.2 defines the scope of this license, and those are the rights that are given to EchoStar. So when it says that under the terms and conditions contained herein, those terms include that license provided to EchoStar to broadcast the programming. Included in that license is the right to sell new subscriptions. And
maybe that's right, but then why doesn't the contract just say if EchoStar has gotten the service on the air before the end of 3 years, this contract lasts an extra year? The whole contract lasts an extra year. That's how you're interpreting it, and it seems a very strange way to write it down in order to say that.
The parties could have done that if it was clear they wanted the contract to extend for a full year. But that's not really what the extension is. The extension is simply how long it takes for EchoStar to finish up multi-month subscriptions. So it could be theoretically possible that at the end of 3 years, it would take 6 months to finish off multi-month subscriptions that were sold prior to the termination of the agreement. So that's why you wouldn't just say it has to continue for a year, because it may not be a year. but they haven't alleged that it should have been shorter. They seem to be comfortable with the year. What they're saying is that you couldn't sell new subscriptions. All you could do was broadcast the programming to people that had already purchased it. The parties could have said that if they wanted to. If they wanted to define specifically which terms would apply to this, what we refer to in the brief as the post-termination period, they could have done that. They could have said Section 5 or Section 6, these particular sections will apply. They didn't do that. They left it very broad. And it just says subject to the terms and conditions contained herein. The second point I wanted to address was regarding Count 4, the amended complaint, in which Polska says that EchoStar has failed to account. Specifically, it's paragraph 16 of the amended complaint. And what Polska alleged in the amended complaint was that EchoStar failed to account for new subscribers or new sales subscriptions during this post-termination period. But under four, and they say that as a breach under section 4.1 of the agreement. 4.1 is only a reporting section, it's a reporting obligation. EchoStar does not have to account for new subscribers. It merely has to provide the number of service subscribers, which are any person actually receiving the program, and they report that number on a monthly basis. And then the payment based on that is contained in section 3 of the agreement.
You may be right that you've paid them everything they are due, but why doesn't the complaint state a claim, right? The claim, we had a contract, they haven't paid us as agreed, is certainly a recognized legal claim. How could it be dismissed under 12b-6?
Because they don't allege that they haven't been paid. What they allege was that EchoStar did not report the number of new sales or new subscribers in violation.
That's not like a kind of magic words interpretation, but that's not what notice pleading is about.
I agree on it, but I mean, if they're in charge, they have the power over the words in their complaint. If they want to put in their complaint, EchoStar did not pay us, or they want to say EchoStar owes X amount of dollars, or if they want to say EchoStar owes some amount of money that is to be determined at trial.
They actually said that complaints can be deemed amended, even in the Court of Appeals, to get to plead or recover on anything consistent with the complaint, that is, not contradicted by the language. And the current claim being made, which is they haven't paid us, is not contradicted by the language of the complaint.
It's not addressed by the language of the complaint. It's basically adding something new. Because they only allege that EchoStar didn't breach by a failure to report a certain number of subscribers, but even in that context, their allegation is wrong because they misread Section 4.1 of the agreement. I mean, basically what they want, and, you know, they had ample opportunity between when they filed the lawsuit to August 6th when they filed their amended complaint, or they could have added another, they could have asked the district court to file another amended complaint,
allegation. What's their reading? I mean, why would they be interested in the accounting? I don't want to suggest your position is hyper-technical, but what would you draw from in a liberal pleading context, what would you draw from the request for the accounting?
Because the point of their complaint and the theory that they are pursuing is that during this post-termination period, EchoStar had no right to sell new month-to-month subscriptions, and therefore Polska is entitled to all of the revenue derived by EchoStar. So the point of paragraph 16 of the amended complaint, EchoStar failed to account for new sales. What EchoStar reports is simply as indicated in section 4.1 of the agreement, the total number of service subscribers. However, whether they were old subscribers, multi-month subscribers, brand new subscribers, it's all mixed. They get reported as one number, and that's in section 4.1. What they want to do, they want to separate, so they don't have access to who was a new subscriber, or I should say, EchoStar had no obligation to report who was a new subscriber versus an old subscriber in the post-termination period. What they want is to know how many of the subscribers in the post-termination period were new. That way, I mean, that's part of their damages and their theory that EchoStar had no right to sell new program, to sell new subscriptions, and EchoStar should have to pay all of the revenue based on from those new subscriptions. But the panel has no further questions. I'll forego the balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Wooten. Mr. Zizek?
Your Honors, our Count 4 breach of contract claim was not limited, as counsel suggests. We did not get the subscription revenue sharing statistics. We did not get the breakdown as to dollar amounts. We did not get the money, regardless of whether they pertained to pre-existing subscriptions or new subscriptions entered into in this post-expiration period. We simply alleged that they failed to account to us under the agreement, and we were damaged, and we attached the complaint that certainly gave them the requisite notice for a breach of contract claim. With respect to counsel's statement that this was a three-year-plus agreement, I only refer to counsel's own brief, where at page 5, he states the agreement was not terminated by either party during the pre-termination slash expiration period, but rather the agreement expired after 3 years on April 30th, 2001. So EchoStar acknowledges the expiration of this agreement. And there's a bit of a circular argument that counsel makes. He says that if we wanted to limit anything that wasn't extended, we could have put that in the contract. Well, the other side of that coin is, if anything other than our obligation to continue to provide the programming service was to be extended, that could have been extended. And then, oddly, counsel emphasized that the extension was to occur for however long to complete multi-month subscriptions. Seems to me that if counsel recognizes that the extension did not exist to allow them to enter into new agreements, but only to complete pre-existing agreements. And what would be the sense?
Is it agreed that they had pre-existing prepaid agreements for the next 12 months?
We don't know that, Your Honor. I assume if we got that accounting, we would know that.
So, although your adversary certainly strongly implied that there were such agreements, and you say you're just in no position to know.
They've not shown us the agreements.
Okay.
The court, however, didn't make that distinction. The court merely said there was an automatic extension of 1 year. And that is contrary to the contract. And again, I respectfully request that this case, that the order be reversed and the case be remanded. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zizek. Thank you, Mr. Witten. Thank you to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.